I'm Jodie Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And oh my gosh, what else is there to talk about? Election, election, election. Voting opens today. Early polling opens today. I've tracked down George Affleck in Spain. That's headline enough, isn't it?
Unspun on the road. Let's do it.
Oh, my friend, what time is it there?
It's 5:40, and I'm in the middle of northern Spain. Done 26 kilometers today, hike, and did 26 wow. yesterday. So, bit tired, but we're
gonna 5:40 in the 5:40 in the evening, everybody.
Yeah.
So
been
I got the 15 minutes heads up at 8:30 in the morning.
We're both dressed to nines.
That's right. Look at us all fancy for our podcast. But we got so much to talk about because we've got some controversy. We've got to talk about the debate that went down two nights ago. Oh, my goodness. We got to debrief on that, how I dropped your name at Rob Shaw's event, Political Capital event. It was very funny. So where do we want to start? Or do we start with the controversy swirling around John Rustad from a couple of days ago when he decided he's only going to take questions from the media gallery on subjects that he has decided are on the table?
It's such a bad move. This has happened before. I think we've talked about this before. Somebody else did this. I can't remember. But I know that Kirk Lapointe did it in 2018 when I ran with him. He was running for mayor of Vancouver. And he kind of something similar where he did a press conference and he said to Francis Beulah, who was a very important municipal reporter, and he basically accused her of attacking him. And shut her down and basically shut down the whole press conference, which was, the press conference was very strange issues that I was like, what is this about? And so at that moment, I was watching him do that. And I was like running as a candidate with him. And I said, oh, no, you just turned the media against you. And he did. And he couldn't win him back. And that's the kind of thing exactly what John Rustad did. You do that kind of stuff. We're talking about spin on the show. When you say those kinds of things to reporters, you are putting yourself in a predicament where they're not gonna do you any favors anymore. That's for sure.
And not only not do you favors, they're going to find stories to tell because there is that balance in media of when, especially during a campaign, once the writ is dropped in a run up to election, you're actually tracked on how much you talk about each of the candidates and how many candidates you speak to, and there's fairness rooted in coverage. And, if you're not actively speaking to the media about what the media is looking to talk about, they're going to dig deeper. Like that's what people, when they go, the media, it makes me a little bit, well, not a little bit, it makes me a lot upset because the whole point here is to hold power to account. And especially in times of very broad promises from most every party and a couple in particular. But before we get to the debate, I do want to talk about this one constituent of BC Conservative Party leader John Rustad. His name is Chapman. He is in South Surrey. And somebody dug through his tweets, and it was Jazz Johal from CKNW who actually posted. Honestly, this thread, you almost have to have a trigger warning going into it because it is just disgusting what was written there in short form. And it really doesn't matter what your political leanings are about this. He said, and I'm only going to take this one little snippet, and I can't believe that somebody who's running for office wrote this at one time in his life, but he basically referred to Palestinians and Muslims as walking, talking, little ticking time bombs. And it went on and on and on and on and on. And he is now put out. First, John Rustad said, I'm not kicking him out. Hadn't heard from him, but I'm not kicking him out. And then a very lawyered, cautious and careful mea culpa came forward. Now, do you think that the not taking of questions and the finding of this are related?
I think it's not. No, I think it's a complete coincidence. I think this candidate's obviously, and this is always the problem with your anybody. We talk to our kids about this all the time on social media. Don't say something stupid now that you'll regret in 10, 15 years. Like, just, you know, if you dig back in my tweets, I would, you'd be challenged to find something that would, that I wouldn't still stand behind and say, no, that's this. I'd have some argument of why I said that, because before I send a tweet, I try to think, okay, what are the repercussions of this forever? And to say those kinds of things that he said back then, that's brutal. But the only strategy he could possibly have, and that writing is fairly safe for him, is it though? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's even with that.
Writing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what he said, just in the balance of this, Brent Chapman sent this directly to Global News last night. Mm-hmm. I'll read a part of it because it literally goes on for five paragraphs. Tonight, some old comments and posts of mine were shared on X by Jazz Johal. The language I used and the sentiments I expressed at the time towards Palestinians and members of the Islamic faith were completely unacceptable. They do not reflect who I am today or the respect and admiration I hold for the Palestinian and Muslim communities. I want to offer my sincerest apologies to everyone hurt by my past words. Since making those comments decades ago, I have had the privilege of traveling to Muslim-majority countries and building meaningful relationships with the members of the Muslim community in Canada. These experiences have broadened my understanding of Islam and deepened my appreciation of incredible contributions Muslims make in our communities, both locally in Surrey and across Canada. He goes on more and more and more.
Yeah.
Mea culpa, right? Mm-hmm. Like, careful, measured, definitely lawyered, mm-hmm. for sure. But do we ever get to a place, John, and I'm not saying that that should happen here, because I can't even imagine how offended an entire religion plus ethnicity of people, the diaspora of Palestinians, are already going through quite a bit, I would say. But just if this was, put it in a more general sense, should you be allowed to apologize when you're a politician for something that gross that you wrote 10 years ago that you're now trying to, like, are we in a place that that's possible?
Well, I mean, I can't check the writing because you said South Surrey, but I thought that was somebody else running, but because that was South Surrey would be conservative, but I don't think it's the right exact, unless you're two writings out there now, unless you're a new writing.
Let me check.
So
you keep talking and I'll check.
I would say that, you know, you have to do an apology. You can't delete something like that because, of course, it'll still be found. So you have to, the fact that this is the challenge that the Conservative Party has. And I talked about this a few weeks ago, vetting candidates. Can't see it. And so Surrey South. So is there, isn't, yeah, okay.
Maybe it's Surrey South and South Surrey White Rock.
Yeah,
maybe there are two.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, that might be right. White Rock has a different candidate.
But Surrey South has a very large,
it's like 70% South Asian or Muslims. Yeah. And he had no choice. But I would say this just shows it's a statement on the quality of vetting that they did of these candidates that they have, that they would have not found that when I ran for office. Every time you have to download all of your tweets, all of your Facebook, there are staff that go through them and they find the ones that might be challenging, and they sit down with you and they say, okay, we found this tweet. What's your response to this? How are you going to deal with this? If they filed something like that, they would not have let you run. If a party would not let you run because of that, they just wouldn't allow you. He's there though, he's a candidate. So the only possible solution he has at this point, if the party's not going to kick him out, which clearly the party's not going to do, for whatever reasons, they are, going to, I got my son calling me from another room here right now, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Do you need to shake that?
No, that's okay. I don't even know how I can. Hold on, I just have to say, decline him. Sorry, Quinn. He'll have to walk down the hall and knock on the door.
That'll be fine. This is a special edition.
Exactly, and a short one because I got to leave in 12 minutes. But it's a challenge. But then that other press conference with him and then the debate, you know, I think the steam is kind of, you know, it's in the wrong direction right now for the Conservatives. We have 1 week left. And I think you said you saw some data following the debate that the EB was benefited from that there was a bump for him.
Got a bump. Yes.
So that's interesting. It's never too late to get that rise that raise that tide for your team.
It's 46-42. So it's not a wide margin. It could even be in the margin of error, but it was like a dead heat with the Conservatives sort of inching up depending on the day. Yes. The Greens sitting at 9%. Let's talk a little bit about
On the polling, I saw a number where 50 seats to 46. I saw it was for NDP based on polling and based on data per riding. Gordon Campbell comes out with a letter. I don't know if that's a positive or negative for the concern. I like Gordon Campbell, and I think he was a good premier. I know a lot of people don't think that. But I think that may be a negative for the Conservatives, much like Christy Clark saying vote for Conservatives would not be a positive, as much as you might like Christy Clark as a person, whoever, all you people who are, and I like Christy Clark. So these are things that are happening.
You like Christy Clark as a person or Christy Clark as a leader?
I thought she was I thought she was a good premier. I think she had some, and then she lost touch with reality in the end, I think, and lost her focus on what she said she was going to do, which is never good. And Gordon Campbell stayed in too long. We've talked about that a lot. Two terms, get out.
So I want to talk about the debate because I thought it was fascinating. And going into the debate, there was a lot of conversation. I believe we touched on it last week about you were saying that science doesn't really matter in an election, and that's not what people are going to be talking about. But again, Chris Sankey's comments, the candidate running under the Conservative Party of British Columbia, who had said and maintains his thoughts around the COVID-19 vaccine causing AIDS, continues to be a talking point that John Rustad could not find in his vernacular to denounce during the debate, which ended up being quite the standout moment. Like, it should be pretty easy to go, no, they don't. Right? Like, it just wasn't, he should have diffused it. That's what all the pundits on the panel, because I was at the check thing, they were like, this is crazy. But in the debate, you would have loved watching it, George, because, and I noticed this when I did the BC Care Providers debate as well, where Adrian Dix and Eleanor Sturco, whenever we're standing next to one another, and every time Eleanor talked, and we'll pretend Eleanor is over here, and every time Eleanor talked, Adrian Dix went like this. So David Eby did that, and it was in a trio screen, and he kept, like, it was profile most of the show when John Rustad was speaking, and it got distracting. So visually speaking, there was like this bit that made you kind of like, and David Eby is what, 6'9" or something crazy like that? 6'7", 6'9". He's very, very tall. Sonia Firstuno is like my height. She may be 5'5". And then John Rustad's under 6 feet tall. So the staging itself was awkward. Chachi Curl did an amazing job as per usual. So that just kind of sets the scene for you in terms of what the debate looked like and felt like. Off the top, everybody was tight, but David Eby was the tightest. I've never seen him. I'm in his constituency, so I've watched this man for years, long before he was, at that upper level. We weren't seeing David Eby, the Attorney General. We should hold the course. We should continue doing what we are doing. And then Sonia Firstuno teed it up, swung for the fences. She looked so ready and smart and on it, but so deep in policy, you'd be like, she'd lose like half the audience in like, what are we talking about? I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. It was wild.
She can, she had nothing to lose. But I think, I think the Greens get wiped out in this election, but
you give me your analysis, I'm going to give you the one more thing with John Rustad, because it's really important. He immediately launched into a story about, on the way to this event, I drove by somebody and watched them dying of an overdose, which, by the way, the BC Coroner Service has come forward and said there have been no. So that's how it looked. And by, the 5 minute, 8 minute mark, Eby loosened up. First to know found her feet and the battle started going, and John Rustad more and more and more and more and more shrank. So unspin it for me.
Well, momentum, right? It's all about momentum in politics. The momentum was on Rustad's side. A debate can change everything. That's what happened in 92 with the Social Credit Party and Gordon Wilson, and the momentum. It wasn't this tight to the election day, though. I think it was about 30 days out. So it was, it changed everything. I don't think that this debate did that. But when you have the triple whammy in the same week where he didn't kill it, Rusta didn't kill it at the debate. It comes out that he was not potentially fully truthful, maybe potentially, that's what we're hearing. He has a candidate, as predicted. There are some of these candidates he has, which are coming out, you know, that are, you know, coming out of the woodwork as far as things they've said, which is not good. And he's at a press conference and telling media that these are not things that keep your momentum going. Is it enough for him to actually reverse the momentum? I think this election will come down to those candidates in those ridings where people are looking at them going, the Conservative Party and that guy, nah. So, you know.
So in the interest of time, because we only have 6 minutes, and this is, I think, something that I wish you were on this panel, because like I said, I gave you the shout out when I was watching it, because one of the questions I posed, because the audience questions to the Political Capital Group, where I just said, like, did any undecideds find a home here? And the answer from the panel was fairly resoundingly a no.
Amanda in the background there. Through the mirror.
This guy over here. This guy.
No, Amanda's in the background there.
Sorry. Oh, Amanda. Oh, hi. Hi, Amanda.
She's over to the band. Sorry.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yes.
So but they basically said, you know, I don't think anybody who is undecided found a home. And it was interesting because that mushy middle side, the people that don't really want to vote for NDP again because they've been around too long and they're feeling it, and they're going to blame somebody, and it's a change election, right? Call that a change election. And maybe they would have swung over to BC United. You know what? More conservative, but not, you know, not crazy people, right?
Yeah.
Was what the mushy middle undecided maybe NDP voter is kind of thinking. But the BC conservative has swung so far to the right that they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I cannot vote for somebody who believes that about vaccines and saying that about, you know, diaspora and really anti-LGBTQ2+ and whatnot in school, like those types of things that have been part of. So now they're going, well, Sonia sounds really smart. Is a vote for the Green Party a vote for the Conservative Party?
Yes, I think, because I know a lot of people who might, it's always surprising to people who vote Green. They're not necessarily left wing. They're quite often conservatives who want to make, and they have some, for whatever reason. I think my mom did this once, voted Green. And I was like, what? She said, well, I'm fiscally thinking on this. And I put, you know, the Greens really speak to me about the environment. And that's one thing that neither NDP nor the Conservatives are talking about or seem to have proved done anything about for a long time in a big way. And so I think a lot of NDPers are going, remember the environment? Where NDP used to be the face of that. And so I think there's an opportunity there. But yeah, and so it could be a spoiler, but then that's kind of why Gordon Gamble counts saying, don't throw away your vote, vote Conservative, make a choice. Because and the polling I saw a year ago before all the mess with Conservatives and all this stuff that happened, there was a scenario for BC United to win. Like the data was really, and nobody would believe you if you said that a year ago. Nobody. But BC United had the data that showed that they would potentially win the election, that they had the ability to do that and have a majority. And nobody would have believed it. But the Conservatives now have eaten up all that stuff, but they have this baggage that we've talked about, and this, you know, this lack of federal liberals being interested in voting for them. So where do those people go? Green?
They'll
plug their noses and vote NDP, or they'll go, oh, okay, change, let's go Conservative.
So then there was the one more comment that the Jillian, who is the Conservative strategist, who was on the panel, and she said one thing that was very interesting, and I think this might have been where your name came up, just in terms of ask George Affleck, that if you had said to her 2 months ago that independent candidates would be finding themselves competing at a high levels, because the former BC United candidates wouldn't go Conservative because they had no money, they're not allowed to fly the banners, they're not, like, if they're starting from scratch, da da da. And she's like, you know what we didn't realize then is the BC Conservatives are the same. Like, they didn't have the know-how, they didn't have the machine behind it, and even if they were able to raise funds, what to do with those funds. And that's really interesting in terms of, like, what the independents with the Greens might be able to do in a minority government scenario? Like, are we going back to 2017? Are we a matter of confidence all over again?
Potentially. I think the only independent that might win will be Mike Bernier. I think that's the only one I think that will win. I really don't see any other independents winning across this province. I think he might be the only one that can pull it off. I'm sorry to the independents out there, whether you're a BC United before. It's just not something voters do. They really don't. I think they had Judy Higginbotham from Delta, who did a few terms as an independent. But, you know, she didn't really have a candidate. I don't think Gordon Campbell ran a BC Liberal against her. So he gave her that. So she was kind of a BC Liberal. You know, right. She's there, but she pretty aligned with them. So, I just don't see it happening. But I do think that there is potentially a minority government coming that it could happen one way or the other. And so that means... if there's no, like there was in 2017, Green Party to support that minority government, you're just a minority government and anything can happen. That means there probably will be an election within 2 years if that happens. So, because they'll...
We're going to be so busy again, George. I have to track you down on the Camino Trail in Spain. It's 9 o'clock. I promise to let you go.
I know,
voting
I gotta go.
Opens today, October the 10th. Follow along on the travels of George at George...
_
Affleck at George_Affleck on your Twitter. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with the Y. Follow Unspun Podcast, like, subscribe, share with your friends. And we'll do this again, George, on short notice. You can be a glass of wine in and I'll be just out of my jammies.
See you later. Bye.